The latest edition of the online Issues Etc. Journal is out. It contains an article I've written titled Legalism and License. How are these two really the same error? Find out with the latest Issues Etc. Journal. You can also read about Pastor Brian Wolfmiller's journey from liberal Lutheranism and navel-gazing evangelicalism to the external promises of God in Holy Scripture. Get your copy of the latest Issues Etc. Journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org.
The President of the United States, the Vice President of the United States, come to the annual prayer breakfast, which began under the Eisenhower administration, and for 58 consecutive years, the President of the United States has attended.
It really is a chance to reflect as a nation on this intersection of faith and politics.
We become absorbed with our abstract arguments, our ideological disputes, our contests for power. And in this Tower of Babel, we lose the sound of God's voice.
The speaker here was Mother Teresa. She gave a strong address against abortion. And then she asked to see me. And I thought, oh dear.
Well, was it only last Friday that Jeff was worrying whether or not we should keep or pitch the Issues Etc. listener comment line? I think it was just last Friday. And judging by your response, I actually haven't personally heard any of the response. I kind of have to wait until the first hour on Fridays to get most of it. Judging by your response, I think our listeners want us to keep the Issues Etc. comment line. We'll be hearing some of those comments and going through your email that's accumulated over the last week or so. We can't always get to all the email. We try to get to as many comments as we can and respond to as much as we can on Fridays here on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's February the 5th. We are coming to you live a little bit later in this hour. We'll pick the Issues Etc. blog of the week. In the second hour, we'll talk Super Bowl 44 with Roger Worley, NFL Hall of Famer. Dr. Andrew Steinman will help us remember, along with the church on this day, Jacob the patriarch. Jacob would be a key figure in Old Testament history, salvation history. And then we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We've got four soundbites from this week's Issues Etc. audio. You can listen, and then in the last half hour, you can vote. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Talkback at issuesetc.org, or you can Twitter us at issuesetc. Those phone numbers are good for the next 2 hours. First, listener email and the Issues Etc. listener comment line on this Friday afternoon, the 5th of February.
Here's a correction from Paul. He said, Anabaptists reject infant baptism as said, but the term means twice baptized or baptized again. Yes?
Yes, exactly. I think I missed correcting that one when we were talking about baptism in our pastor's roundtable, if I'm not mistaken. One of the pastors said that Anabaptist, the term used in the 16th century Reformation, meant against baptism. They were not against baptism. They believed in baptizing again. That is, they rejected infant baptism. And so since virtually everyone was baptized an infant in those days, they baptized again, they gaining them the name Anabaptists, baptized again. And it is the theological ancestors of Baptists today and so many other Protestant denominations that reject infant baptism. They could all be called, if they reject infant baptism, Anabaptists.
Stephen from Denver, Colorado writes, I was listening to your episode on St. John Chrysostom, and in my daily readings, I came across this quote from Dr. C.F.W. Walther, first president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. This is from Walther. Chrysostom, you remember, was a great scholar and an excellent orator. His original name was John, but because of his oratorial skills, he was called the Golden Mouth. He seemed to have the gift to do with his audience anything he pleased. He was equally able to make them glad or sad, to exult or to wail, weep and sob, according to his pleasure. And yet the good man, upon the whole, accomplished little because he was poor in distinguishing the law from the gospel, habitually mingling the one doctrine with the other. That's the end of the Walther quote. And Steve from Colorado concludes, "It is laudable that you keep the church fathers before our eyes. It is lamentable that, at least in this example, you didn't provide an opportunity to speak of their weaknesses. I know that you will receive praises as well as constructive criticism. In that spirit, I thought it might be a good idea for me to comment. Thanks for listening, and thanks for the email, Steve in Denver."
And we like the corrections and the criticism. In fact, personally, I like them a bit more than the praise and the what shall we say? When people like what they hear, when you hear us addressing a topic and there's a blind spot, we want to hear from you. Now, I will say that we had 10 minutes to talk about St. John Chrysostom. There's a lot to say about the man. We're speaking to an audience, whether it be the evangelicals in our audience or, quite frankly, the Lutherans in our audience who, through no fault of their own, simply because they have not been properly taught, probably don't even know who St. John Chrysostom is. So we try and keep it as basic as possible. Now, if we were to spend a little more time talking about St. John Chrysostom, there's much more we could say, both positive and negative. But we thank you very much for that correction.
This is James in Naperville, Illinois. Thanks for the creationism segment. One issue unaddressed is that to God, a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is as a day. This doesn't seem like it could dismiss the literal days of Genesis, but would have best been addressed. Your guest example of inconsistencies in fossil dating were weak and would seem in anybody else's to be a deliberate and therefore dishonest misunderstanding. I was disappointed. If you're going to address an issue, you should at least have an understanding of it. His example was like taking Luke 9:50 and 11:23 and saying, "See, the Bible is inconsistent. Some understanding is required." The real challenge of science versus creationism is that science has superb predictive power. The models predicted the ratios of hydrogen, helium, and lithium in the universe. They predicted the cosmic microwave background and gravitational lensing, and so on. It would be useful to be able to explain why the universe looks like it's very big and very old, and why it looks like it came out of a Big Bang when it has actually only been around for a few thousand years. I know God made it that way, but why, writes James in Naperville, Illinois.
Well, James, I don't think we can answer the question why God made it that way. I honestly don't. There is, look, the whole idea of dating the universe is based on how far light can travel in a given amount of time. So we look at these distant galaxies, and here we're talking about not just distant galaxies, but clusters of galaxies, because they are so distant from us. Hubble telescope goes up into space. It looks into areas of the sky we thought previously empty, and it finds, well, not whole universes, that makes no sense, but it finds in dark spots of the sky lots and lots of stuff very far away. And so we start saying, how long did it take for the light to get here, assuming that light travels at a constant speed everywhere all the time and has from the beginning? The cosmologists will say, look, it's got to be 13 point something to 14 billion years old, and that's how long the light has taken to get to us. All right. That's a simplest, that you understand this. That's a simplistic way of doing it. Now, they assume that the light had to begin at point A and end up at point B, and that time in between has to have transpired. But I would say, just as God created rivers already flowing, waterfalls already falling, so in the same way, I assume he did, in the same way he can create light in transit, just as water down the course of a river is in transit. Now, does that mean there's some sort of deception going on? He created it with the appearance of age? No, he created it the way he wanted to create it. We interpret that as an appearance of age. The error is not in, or the deception is not in, the manner in which he created things. Adam and Eve, they were not created as fertilized eggs. They were created apparently as fully grown, at least at the point of creation, mature human beings with an appearance of age. From our perspective, yes. From God's perspective, brand new. How old was Adam on day 6 of creation? He was one day old, but he wasn't a baby. So in the same way, I think the appearance of age is a problem with our interpretation rather than how God created these things. Now, one more thing, the criticism that our guest found inconsistencies in the fossil record. Well, look, if there are inconsistencies, they do need to be explained. Just as if someone alleges an inconsistency in the Bible, it does need to be explained. We don't simply say no inconsistencies. No, we explain it. We explain what appears to be an inconsistency. I think that's all he was trying to do, was call for a rational, reasonable explanation of the inconsistencies in the fossil record. Next, a response to the question, should we keep the issues, etc., comment line. We won't have the response. Not yet. Craig's having a hard day. You got to look, people, you got to give Craig a little bit of slack today. He's had a hard day. He had a big shock right before we went on the air, and he barely recovered. So we'll cut Craig the slack. He does so well deserves, making everything run on time perfectly 99.999% of the time. What's next, Jeffy?
Here's an email from Jeff in Pensacola, Florida. I just listened to yesterday's program, your interview with Dr. Schuller at the gym today, on my iPod. This was, again, an outstanding interview, and I think Pastor Todd articulated to Dr. Schuller in the most charitable and loving way our need to hear Christ crucified for us, Christians and non-Christians, on a daily basis. Schuller obviously disagreed. However, this email is on a lighter note. During one of the breaks, I heard the liner, "Luther had Wartburg, we have Collinsville." I almost fell off the treadmill in laughter. It's dangerous out there. Thanks, and be careful, Jeff, in Pensacola, Florida.
Thank you very much, Jeff, and thanks for listening in Florida. Who came up with that one, Jeffy?
Man, you can't come back to me. I'm trying to eat pretzels here. You're supposed to take it to break.
You're eating the communal pretzels.
Actually, around Reformation time of the year, I read Paul Meyer's, you know, Luther biography for the kids. So I had that one down since, like, you know, October.
Okay, you made it up.
Yeah, but I got it from the book. You know, I mean, that's where I got the Wartburg idea.
All right. Well, and don't talk with your mouth full, even when I want you to. Thanks. Well, the liners are there always to kind of tell people what we're doing here, and it's true. Luther had his Wartburg. We have our Collinsville. Oh my goodness, it's Friday. I can tell it's obviously Friday. When we come back, we promise that we'll have our act together. And Craig's ready with the comment line. He's given me a confident Craig Feitinger thumbs up, which I never doubt, ever. Never have, never will. A thumbs up from him is rock solid. It is gold. We'll be right back.
Have you heard of the CLCC, the Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission? We're deeply involved in providing seminars to build up Christ's church with education and training for the laity. So far, we've held seminars on confessional topics at churches in Minnesota, Utah, Oregon, and Washington, and planning is underway to hold seminars in several other states coast to coast. Visit theclcc.org. Check us out, get on the mailing list, or better yet, join us. See how your church can host a seminar too. Go to theclcc.org.
If you're a pastor or layperson in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we have some timely resources for you. The leadership of the LCMS is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. You'll find show transcripts about these proposed changes and an updated list of questions for President Gerald Kishnick's task force. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Listen on Demand.
We're not funded by LCMS, Inc. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org, or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, going through listener email and the comment line. By the way, our comment line, 24-7 for your questions, your comments, your suggestions, your additions, your addendum, your criticism, 618-223-8384. It's always there, and it always answers, and it's always ready to take your comments, and we try to respond every Friday to as many comments as there are, 618-223-8384. Next, a response to the question, should we keep the Issues Etc. comment line?
This is the LPR answering machine calling the Issues Etc. comment line. I maintain that the service I provide Lutheran Public Radio is a very important one. I'm here 24/7/365. I never talk back. Sure, I get lonely sometimes. So many people email rather than calling, but hey, it's radio. I sound as good as Jeff or Craig, don't I? So don't fire me, I'm underemployed. Get the word out on demand, listeners. Give me a call. Live listeners, you can call me instead of the studio, if you want to. Did I mention that as a result of listening to Todd and the Issues Etc. guests over the years, I've become a confessional Lutheran? Remember, we're Sinéad Bettler.
He sounded positively lonely. You know, I don't think about it that when we leave here and shut the lights down, close the blinds, turn on the alarm, that we're leaving behind a dear friend every night, and we never say goodbye. We just assume he's going to be there. But he is, 24/7, answering your phones, the Issues Etc. comment line. He doesn't want to be unplugged.
I rub the old comment line every now and then, just give him a little rub.
I don't need to know that. I don't need to know that.
Poor guy. You know, he's collecting quite a bit of dust, too, I noticed.
Well, when people come in, it's one of the features of at least the control room that we show folks. I mean, we tell them what this is and what that is, and they get to look at the equipment that help make the show possible. And then last but not least is always our humble Issues Etc. comment line, which is just an answering machine.
Which really surprises people because they're expecting some real sophisticated machine, and it was like a $15 answering machine we got at Walmart.
Yeah. So, So at least the comment line wants to stay. Anybody else?
Lots of response to whether the comment line stays or goes.
All right.
This is Teresa in Maple Grove, Minnesota. She posts this on Facebook, our facebook.com/issuesetc page. I'd like to vote to keep the Issues Etc. comment line. So that's two votes, right? It's nice for people to have the option, and I enjoy hearing people's voices. Maybe it would get used more if you had better lead-in music for it. Have you considered a song by the Bare Naked Ladies named appropriately enough, Call and Answer? Thanks for the suggestion, Teresa in Maple Grove, Minnesota.
Well, I had not. And look, also, good suggestion for bump music. We've got a ton of archive bump music for calls and phone calls and operator and telephone and call us and all of those things. We'll add that one, we promise. I don't think we can put it on the line for people to listen to. Do we have something that people listen to when they're on hold? Is there something playing, or is it just dead
silence?
I think
she was just talking about the lead-in to the actual comment.
The actual bump music.
Yeah, right.
All right. We will we'll try and do that. Not today, because we don't have any time to do it, but we can't do it next week because we won't be here on Friday. In a couple of weeks, expect to hear it.
Gary writes this suggestion in response to Friday, January 29th request for whether to keep the comment line. When not broadcasting, make the toll-free studio phone line the comment line, or create another toll-free comment line. You might get more comments from outside the Southern Illinois area if it were toll-free.
Well, that's a good suggestion. I don't know if it's possible. I mean, I don't think we could switch the lines over, and we're trying to keep our costs down. We hope that our listeners understand that 800 numbers do cost money, so we're trying to keep our costs down and try and limit it to the studio line, or 877, I should say, numbers. We had enough time. Remember how long it took for us to actually land upon an 877 number that made everyone happy? I mean, we went through, you can go through and see which ones are taken. I remember weeks before the show started trying to come up with an 877 number and pick one that actually made sense for the, we finally gave up and just went with my IE, which I believe was Beth's idea, if I'm not mistaken. Here's some more from the comment line.
Hello, Jeff and Todd. Just wanted to say I do appreciate the Issues Etc. comment line, but if no one is using it, I'd probably say save the $25 and just go with the listener email. I do enjoy that segment of the show every week, the questions that people have. But as long as I have you on the line, Pastor Wilkin, I was wondering if you could help me in terms of teaching Bible class, especially 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. It says, "Yet she will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control." God's blessings. Once again, thank you for your show. It's a great blessing to all of us.
By the way, put that on the list. We're hoping to do a series on, if originally I was thinking the obscure sayings of Jesus, the strange and difficult sayings of Jesus, but we might want to expand it to strange and difficult sayings in the New Testament as well, because that is one of them. Believe me, scholars have puzzled over this. They've scratched their heads. What in the world is Paul talking about? It seems so un-Pauline for him to say that a woman will be saved through childbearing. Now, it certainly doesn't mean that bearing children is the means by which women are saved or granted eternal life, have their sins forgiven. And scholars have gone back and forth saying, we don't know. Perhaps he's talking about not so much her salvation, but something else. I don't know what that would be. The best explanation, which still seems rather thin to me, is that that the woman is saved via the childbearing function of women, which came to its culmination in the incarnation of Jesus Christ. It is through bearing children. Some say hearkening back to Eve's original mistake when she thought that her firstborn was in fact the Messiah that had been promised to her only months before. So I don't know. That's one of those passages that eludes a decent interpretation. There are dark portions of Scripture, and there are light ones. And this one, no matter how much you shine the brighter portions of Scripture on it, it doesn't ever get much brighter. It's just a difficult passage. More feedback about the future of the Issues Etc. comment line.
Yes, the comment line should stay open because we do not need the money for the line going to support Craig's pizza and pretzel addiction. Thank you much.
Yeah, I think we're verging on that. Thank you very much.
Now, I have a confession to make. I busted Craig's chops about buying company-subsidized pretzels, a bag of pretzels, and I think I've eaten most of them.
Yeah, I think you probably have.
I owe the kitty.
Do you realize, Jeff, I won't say this, I mean, to embarrass you. Yeah, I will. Anyway, Jeff has never, ever, ever cottoned to me eating on the air, even if I'm just nowhere near airtime. It's just a radio no-no, you don't eat on the air. You don't do it, especially if you have a microphone in front of your face. Apparently, the rules don't apply to Mr. Schwarz. When he knows he has to read listener email and respond back and forth with his host, doesn't apply. He's got a mouthful of pretzels.
Wait a second. We were 2 minutes going to break, and we had a two-minute break. It gave me 4 minutes to wash down a pretzel. And since when do you adhere to that policy? You frequently continue to eat in the studio.
I eat in the studio, but I don't
during the show. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just like you blog and you Facebook and you do other things during the show.
Well, it's true. I have to admit it. I mean, he still has not properly taught me all the rules. Time for one more vote for the Issues Etc. comment line.
This is Paul in Milwaukee coming to the defense of the comment line. It's 10-year questioned on January 29th, apparently in danger because of disuse. Issues constantly seeks to avail itself of new forms of communication between listener and itself. Now we cut back on a certainly historic and low-maintenance item of the Issues' ongoing conversation. Has the comment line enjoyed the promotional energies of Soundbite of the Week? Should a comment line verbal effusion of the month, with its spiritual and material unworn rewards, be tried? Few older listeners are going to take up Twitter, I suspect. Thanks for listening.
That's absolutely true. Few older listeners are going to take up Twitter. Now, some do and some don't. Look, we do not have anything against the comment line. We were just wondering whether or not it was a good idea which had not found its place. Apparently, it's a good idea that has found its place. Still time for your votes on the future of the Issues Etc. comment line. It's always open 24/7, 365 days a year. Even when we're gone, it's here. 618-223-8384, 618-223-8384. 84. You can leave your comments there anytime, criticism, praise, whatever it may be. The only thing you need to know, you don't have to leave your name. It always helps. We'd like to know who you are and where you're listening. But if you don't want to, you can leave an anonymous comment. Some do. Just remember, we might use it on the air. When we come back from this break, more of your email, more of your comments on the Issues Etc. comment line, apparently a reprieve. And then we'll pick Issues Etc. blog of the week in the second hour of the program. Roger Worley, NFL Hall of Famer, will join us. We'll get his thoughts prior to Super Bowl 44. He's in Miami. Then we'll remember, along with the church, Jacob the Patriarch, Dr. Andrew Steinman of Concordia University, Chicago, will be our guest. And finally, Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. He's got a good idea. I mean, maybe we could occasionally assemble a montage of Issues Etc. comments for airing. But we'd like to play them all and respond to as many of them as we possibly can. Our call-in number on this Friday afternoon, February the 5th, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us, those of you who do, at issuesetc. Thanks for your comments. More email after this. You want me off your back? Well, come on and let me know. Should I stay or should I go? Should I stay or should I go now? Should I stay or should I go now?
I attended Sunday services in a beautiful Singapore Lutheran congregation. One local man approached me and asked with a pronounced Southeast Asian accent, "You live in St. Louis? You know Todd Wilkin?"
Pastor Matt Harrison reading from his new audiobook, Christ Have Mercy, How to Put Your Faith in Action.
Who? You mean Todd Wilkin? It turned out this man, half a world away, was a regular listener via the internet, and he's hardly alone. It really is a whole new day. We are witnessing the greatest free flow of faithfully Lutheran information in the history of the Lutheran Church. It is the worldwide moment for confessional Lutheranism. It is Missouri's moment.
You can download Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison at cph.org. It costs only $10.99 to download. This new audiobook is a must-listen for Issues Etc. fans. Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison. cph.org.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
In the wake of the devastating earthquake in Haiti, many organizations immediately provided the stricken country with medical supplies and treatment, food, water, and blankets. They also offered comfort to Haitians facing desolate circumstances. One group is using this tragedy to raise money. Planned Parenthood sent out a fundraising letter asking for donations, but not for critically needed items. They want to blanket the devastated island with condoms and their pro-abortion philosophy. It's estimated the people of Haiti lost over 200,000 citizens. Children and adults are scrounging for food, water, and shelter. Yet, Planned Parenthood's priority is to keep them from reproducing. Is it because they're black and poor? The same offer was given to poor black people after Katrina.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Friday afternoon. We're going through listener email here on Issues Etc. A little bit later, blog of the week. Did you already pick your blog? We always try and check with each other before.
Yeah, I hope we didn't pick the same one.
Yeah, we didn't compare notes today. And so, okay, now, Jeff's had his screw up, Craig's had his, and I had mine, although no one knows what mine is because, well, I'll tell you what it is. I forgot to do the soundbite montage. I usually do the soundbite montage on Fridays, and it plays coming out of the bottom of the hour.
Plays coming out of the first break.
It does?
Yeah, in the second hour. Yeah.
Oh, in the second hour.
Because we go into it about two or three minutes later.
I'm sorry, I thought you did it like an hour in advance.
No, we did that one time with Soundbite of the Year. We did it both hours.
Oh, that's right. That's right. See, how little I know or pay attention to even the format of my own show. But, so we've all had, we've all completely screwed up once today, which happens so seldom around here. So dedicated are we to excellence, and now it has to stop.
No more screwing up. I leave for one trip to Kmart.
Yeah,
15 minutes before airtime, thinking everything okay, everything okay. I come back, it's pandemonium. What happened, boys? What happened in that 15-minute time frame?
First of all, the Jeff Schwarz I once knew would never have left 15 minutes before the show to go out on a snowy day, risking life and limb.
Oh, but it was an errand for my wife.
You're kidding me.
No, I had to return some towels to Kmart. I was supposed to do it like 3 weeks ago. So,
all right, what's next?
Beth in Washington, Missouri. I was listening to listener comments from January 15th, and I heard Todd make a reference to puppets on Broadway and how someone should do that. Well, it's been done. Avenue Q is a Broadway show with puppets. Think adult Sesame Street. I don't think Todd would like this show, however. I have not seen it, but I think it has homosexual puppets and the like. I didn't read this one in advance. I'm sorry. Anyway, enjoy the show. Still can't bring myself to try Chalada, says Beth in Washington, Missouri.
Look, if you just one time, the problem is it's sold and you can buy individual cans of Chalada various places. Usually the big 24-ounce cans, the big, you know, the kind that Craig... When we're leaving, we see Craig sitting outside at LPR studio with the paper bag and his 24-ounce or whatever that thing is. You can buy them. No matter what you do, count on not enjoying it and pouring the rest of it down the drain or giving it to the dog. My dog, by the way, loves Chalada, but I don't share any with her because I like it myself. What was the other thing she said? The Chalada just got me completely... I mean,
there being a puppet show
on Broadway.
Avenue Q, I believe it was.
I think I was aware of that. I think I was. But I was talking about sock puppets, not sophisticated Sesame Street style puppets. I'm talking about genuine bona fide buttons for eyes and nothing more, maybe a few strands of yarn for hair, sock puppets on Broadway. I still think it's a brilliant idea. Low tech, plain old socks out of the drawer with buttons for eyes. I think it would be great.
Hey, I don't know if you noticed this or not, but Jeff has left the office before to run errands, and usually it's when he's out of Flexol.
Oh, that's true. Jeff is our resident flex head. I refer to him as a flex head. Explain the Flexol to everybody so they understand why when people visit the LPR studio, the first thing that they meet is the pungent aroma of mentholated fish oil. I don't even know what it is, but I don't even smell it anymore because it's been, 10, 11 years in Jeff's presence, I've been smelling the Flexol. I don't know how Beth puts up with it.
I have neck pain in my neck, and it's related to tension. So when I was at KFUO, our former employer, I used to apply it like 5 times a day.
You went through it was unbelievable.
Yeah, and I can go days at a time since I've been in LPR without even putting it on that day.
Really?
Yeah, I have today. And I think after the debacle, after my Kmart trip, I will be in the next break, you know, putting all over my bod during the next break.
That's another thing. I don't need to hear that. Well, I got to recount this because many of
Well, don't worry. Craig's going to do it for me.
These mental images that I don't need. That's going to be with me all weekend.
It comes in a tube. I saw him one day come in here. I came in quite early, and Jeff was using it in the back to brush his teeth.
Well, it's multi-purpose, Flexol. Highly recommend it.
Picture this. In our days at KFUO, when we used to travel a lot, we used to be on the road a lot, Jeff would be driving a rented minivan full of very expensive equipment. I would be in the passenger seat, holding on for dear life, careening down the highway, often over the speed limit. Jeff would be, and I kid you not, simultaneously talking on his cell phone with a yellow legal pad in his lap, sometimes on the dashboard or leaning against the steering wheel, and applying Flexol to the back of his neck all at once. He would be talking to his brother or one of his fellow Edwardsville High School basketball fans, and reading something off of his yellow pad, which is ubiquitous with Jeff, and trying to navigate the vehicle at the same time.
But truth be told, whenever I got really dangerous, I said, "Will can grab the wheel," remember?
It's true. Like, Jesus, take the wheel. That's what it was.
That's right.
But it usually took at least those three things to occasion, "Hey, could you hold on to the wheel for the next few minutes because I'm on the cell phone and I need to apply Flexol."
but my Flexol consumption has been reduced dramatically since working here at LPR.
Just in just give me a guesstimate.
I probably go through a tube every 6 weeks.
But when
and
I'd
go through a tube a week easily.
Okay, if you will. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That doesn't surprise me a bit.
Nope. Here's Inga. Inga says, I'm a lifelong conservative Lutheran Church Missouri Synod member and have somehow gotten the idea that in the end times, the Jewish people are going to return to Christ. Is this biblical, writes Inga?
Well, it depends. The Bible clearly teaches that in the end, there will be a repentance of the Old Testament people of God. Bible scholars interpret this in various ways. Some believe that there will be an en masse, virtually every Jew living in the end times will come to faith in Jesus Christ through Christian evangelism. Others say no, it will simply be a mass, whatever that means, a mass conversion, again, through Christian evangelism. I don't think the en masse one really holds any water biblically. I don't know where I fall on that one. A position that we do need to clearly reject is kind of the two-track, two means of salvation held out by some dispensationalists who will say that all of Israel, that is blood descendants of Abraham, will somehow be saved even apart from faith in Christ. That is a position that the Bible quite clearly rejects. Granted, St. Paul does say all Israel will be saved, but St. Paul is quite clear that when he talks Israel, he's not usually talking Old Testament people of God, blood descendants of Abraham. He's talking about those who are descendants of Abraham by faith, which includes even us too. I would say probably the most conservative way of reading it is that in the end, there will be by God's design, for the blood descendants of Abraham who heretofore have rejected Christ, there will be a time in which they, through Christian evangelism, believe in Jesus Christ. How many? How it will happen? Don't know. But the Bible does seem to indicate something of that nature in the end time. Could be happening right now, for all we know.
But we shouldn't look for the coming of Christ when we see like mass conversion of Jews to Christianity, right? I mean,
no.
A lot of people say we're not going to know Christ isn't coming back till we see this mass conversion.
No, and in the same way, we do not mark the coming of Christ by any signs, except those that Christ gives us, which are those constant signs that seem to indicate he could come back any time at all.
On the Facebook, Brian writes, you want somebody eating on the air? Listen to Detroit Tiger baseball. Jimmy Price does it all the time.
No kidding.
We have Mike Shannon here in St. Louis. He's drinking all the time. And by the ninth inning, it gets really good.
Or really, really bad. I mean, depending on what you mean by good.
Yeah, it's good entertainment.
It gets entertaining. It's just the worst commentary ever.
Mike in Ortonville, Michigan. I have been having a discussion with a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America who is considering walking away from that synod. He has asked me my opinion, and after several tactful attempts, I told him that it is highly unlikely that the formal leadership will return to inerrancy and complete adherence to the confessions. He replied, what you are saying is that the ELCA is formally neither Christian or Lutheran. I said, yes, I believe that is true. His experience is different at the local level, but he knows where his money goes, and he is not happy about it. It is a matter of conscience, but the formal position of the ELCA is so far from orthodoxy that I wonder, is there any other way to say it? Your thoughts. Thanks for the email, Mike in Ortonville, Michigan.
No, I think apostasy is, at least for the express theology of its leadership. Again, at the local level, things are quite different. At the local level, there are congregations, there are pastors, there are individual lay people who have not departed from a trust in the Word of God, who have not denied cardinal doctrines of the faith, as have the leadership, who have not, as the leadership have, intentionally and knowingly undermined the clear teaching of Scripture. But as far as the leadership is concerned and the direction of that church body in the decisions it makes corporately, I don't think there's any other term to put on it except apostasy. Now, there are those who wish to stay and hope against hope that this situation might be turned around. But I think with the decision made this last summer to openly accept homosexuality in various forms, even those who were hoping against hope saw the light and finally said, nope, this is that situation where, in the terms that our confessions put it, this is an obstinate unrepentance. And the only thing you can do is flee, which so many have. We'll be right back, 10 more minutes, in this first hour of Issues, Etc.
Oh, yes, I deliver the letter. The sooner the better. You gotta wait a minute, wait a minute.
The Lutheran Study Bible is the first time in the English language that the Lutheran Church has produced a study Bible to this extent.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Paul McCain, with his thoughts on the new Lutheran Study Bible.
It's entirely from scratch, using all original content, features that every Christian will love and cherish. It has what I think is the most important thing of all, a rich devotional quality to it. That helps us understand when we are reading the Word of God, we are reading the mind of God and hearing His Word for us, and we respond to Him and pray, praise, and thanksgiving all through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are really excited about this Bible.
Enrich your devotional life through Word and prayer with the new Lutheran Study Bible. Check it out at our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or you can buy the Lutheran Study Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, the Lutheran Study Bible.
You canceled the wrong show. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
Historic liturgy, cool. Liturgical dance, not cool. Kneeling for the Lord's body and blood on a Sunday morning, cool. Sitting in your theater-style seat with cupful if you're a double mocha latte, not cool. We're the Brothers of John the Steadfast. If you're interested in traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice, check us out, www.steadfastlutherans.com. You are
my soul. Hello, it's me. I've thought about us for a long, long time.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. 10 more minutes in this first hour. Second hour of the program, we'll spend first with Roger Worley talking about the upcoming Super Bowl, then talking Jacob with Dr. Andrew Steinman, and then Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. What's next in email, Jeff?
This, some questions posted by Jill on our Facebook.com/IssuesETC page. I've been listening to and teaching, and I'm trying to discern if there are any problems with this teaching. Can someone comment on some statements and answer some questions for me? First, we'll do these one at a time. When you have faith, God is pleased, and that is a green light for God to unleash more activity in your life.
I would not put it that way because I don't think that Scripture puts it that way. That's a very popular teaching among Christians that somehow once one exercises the will to have faith, which is not the way the Bible describes it, this what frees up God to do things in your life. Joel Osteen is famous for teaching these kinds of things. It is not faith per se that pleases God. It is the object of faith, the one in whom one puts one's faith, namely Jesus Christ, that pleases God. Faith pleases because Christ pleases God. And the object of faith is what pleases God. And God is completely free to do whatever he wants in a person's life, whether they be a believer or an unbeliever. Our faith or unbelief do not bind God's hands in any way whatsoever.
Jill's second question, did the statement Stephen full of grace and power mean that he had a special charisma or winsomeness about him that people wanted to hang around him? I think it had more to do with the Holy Spirit drawing people to faith in Christ through the preaching of the gospel.
It has to do with the Word. When the Bible, Old Testament or New, describes the Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of the Lord came upon me. That is a synonym for the Word of the Lord. In fact, you can find as many times, the Word of the Lord came to me. The Spirit and the Word always go together. So when we say that Stephen was full of the Spirit or of grace and power, we're talking about the fact that he is faithfully preaching and proclaiming the Word of God. Did this make him popular with people? Obviously not. What did this grace and power, what kind of reaction did it get from the people? It made them very angry, murderous, and they stoned Stephen because of the very Spirit and Word that he was proclaiming.
Finally, three things about the Holy Spirit. Does being filled with the Holy Spirit necessarily mean that everyone will like you? Can you commit yourself to being filled with the Holy Spirit? And what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit as in Acts 6 when the apostles are selecting overseers for the distribution?
All right. The first question is, does it mean that everyone will like you? Answer, no. Jesus, is there anyone more, quote unquote, full of the Spirit than Jesus himself? And he begins as a popular preacher, but the more people hear from him and see of him, the less popular he becomes until eventually he is killed and he's full of the Spirit. So being filled with the Spirit does not mean that people will like you or be attracted to you. The second question she asks, what was the second question in there?
Can you commit yourself to being filled with the Spirit, and what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit as in Acts 6?
Answer, no, you cannot commit yourself to being filled with the Spirit. In fact, it's a passive verb, isn't it? Be filled with the Spirit. They were filled. They did not fill themselves with the Spirit. The Spirit filled them. So this is an act of the Spirit, not of us. The Holy Spirit comes upon, fills, works faith, all of those things. It's all the Holy Spirit's work. And none of ours. In fact, the Holy Spirit must do these things in spite of our resistance against the Holy Spirit. And he does when and where he wills. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? I think it's, again, connected to the Word, because the Spirit is never found apart from the Word. Never, ever, ever. Here's a comment about our recent interview on the purification of Mary and the presentation of Jesus.
Pastor Todd, this is John in Clifton, Colorado. I just wanted to comment on the interview you had with Dr. Just on February 2nd. I was trying to call in during the time when you showed it on the radio, and apparently you guys had recorded it earlier. But I wanted to comment because I think it shows to another point that I like a lot, and that is that there's a story about St. Simeon that earlier on in his life, he was with a bunch of scholars, and they were talking about the virgin birth of the Messiah and such forth. And there was a point to where Simeon had said, well, I don't think this can happen. How can it happen? And he said, if this is going to happen, here's my ring. Let me throw it into the river. And if this is going to happen, let it come back to me. And sometime later, what had happened was as they were fishing downriver, they caught this fish, which actually had to happen, had the ring in it. And the whole thing that reminds me of all of this is like that ring of, you know, righteousness. We find, too, that Christ is our righteousness in the fish, in the body of the fish, just like Christ was in the body of Mother Mary. And that this kind of shows to us the importance of his birth, the importance of the incarnation, and that those are important things. I think a lot of people today in Christianity don't want to look at that. And I just wanted to thank you for that interview and that topic, and continue to do what you do.
Thank you very much for the comment. I was unaware of that legend, and it obviously is a legend regarding Simeon. The Bible doesn't provide us with any information about Simeon except that he had been assured by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before seeing the Lord's Christ, and how that assurance came to him, we do not know. But I think you're right. There are many Christians. We've just celebrated the Christmas and the Epiphany season, haven't we? We're still coming to the end of the Epiphany season. And there are many Christians who simply do not understand what it means that God would take on human flesh to bear our sins. And he takes the path to the cross through the womb of the Virgin Mary. That is crucial. The two go together, the incarnation and his sacrifice at the cross.